Morning.
Morning.
First of all, I would like to thank Matt for today's topic. Back in mid-August, he quoted the following Bible verse that still occupies my mind. Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. While the verse only contains four words, it is a thought-provoking statement that we should all consider, ponder. It is a challenge that we should all undertake. It is a commandment that we should all obey. It is a blessed hope to know our Lord and Savior is coming back to take us home. What are we to occupy with? I preached a sermon at the end of August answering this question. I'm going to quickly mention the points that I have covered. We are to occupy with studying God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15. We are to occupy with praying. James 5:16. Oh, is here, are your hands quick enough to write down all the things? We are to occupy with meeting. Acts 2:42 and Hebrews 10:25. We are to occupy with loving one another. John 13:35. 1 John 13, oh, I probably got a double. 1 John, okay, should be John 13:35, I think, and Hebrews 13:1. Just a little typo on my notes here. We're to occupy with witnessing. Matthew 28:19-20. I could have ended the sermon right here and set a new record for the shortest sermon at World Faith Bible Assembly. I can see a few heads nodding in agreement with a great big grin on your faces. Too bad I'm not occupied with setting any new record. So we must judge on. My son Jamie and his family are living in Hong Kong. I have only seen my granddaughter Jocelyn in person twice so far. She's about 15 and a half months old. Of course, we receive pictures and videos of her on a regular basis and saw her through Skype whenever she is available. Recently, Jamie and Jennifer, our daughter-in-law, took Jocelyn to a toy store. They took a video of Jamie holding a giant teddy bear in one arm and Jocelyn in the other. Jocelyn was having a fun time hugging and kissing the teddy bear, but she was a little disappointed to say goodbye to the bear. So she told Jamie to buy the giant teddy bear for Jocelyn as her Christmas gift and present it to her now and capture her reaction. Jocelyn was lying in Jamie's bed when they presented the teddy bear to her. She jumped up from the bed and ran towards it. Needless to say, they were hugging, kissing, laughing, exciting gesture and baby talk that we don't understand. Unknowingly, we have received our Christmas present from our granddaughter, Jocelyn. It is okay for a 15-month-old baby to occupy her time with hugging and kissing a toy bear. But if we fast forward Jocelyn's life to the time when she turns 20, we would be a little worried if she continues to occupy her time hugging and kissing a toy bear. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Christian maturity is a function of how we occupy our time till Christ comes. It is proportional to the time we occupy to please our Lord. It is inversely proportional to the time we occupy to please ourselves. The more we occupy our time pleasing the Lord, the more we are mature in Christ. On the contrary, the more we occupy our time pleasing ourselves, the less we are mature in Christ. The Apostle Paul rebuked the immature Christian in both Corinthians and Hebrews. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." And also in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yet, sadly enough, there are many churches with believers who are spiritually in grade 3 and grade 4. They are not brand new believers. They have been in the church for many years. One reason for this phenomenon is that they are not occupied with the right motivation. They are not occupied with the right thinking. They are not occupied with the right principles. Surely, they are occupied without an idle minute. Definitely, they are occupied with a full schedule. As the saying goes, chewing gum has lots of motion, but little progress. This morning, the title of my sermon is Occupying Christianity. It is divided into two parts. The first part deals with the things that we are not to be occupied with. And the second part emphasizes the things that we are to be occupied with. So sit back and relax, but not too relaxed, and occupy with what our Lord is going to say to each one of us. Part one, things that we are not to be occupied with. Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" When we cater to self, flesh, carnality, and the world, we stand to lose a lot, if not all. Romans 8, verse 5 to 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Verse 8. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." We're not to be occupied with seeking after the flesh. What is the flesh? Perhaps most plainly, it refers to the part of us that is alienated from God. It is the rebellious, unruly, and obstinate part of the inner self that is operative all the time. It is that part of us that does not want to be told what to do. It is stubborn, refuses correction, and does not want to have a thing to do with God. It bristles at limits and rules. It recoils at anything that might cause me to be diminished, or something less than the center of the universe. The flesh hates to be under authority, or to have to yield to anything other than its own wishes and desires. The flesh often desires something simply because it is forbidden. So another term for the flesh is sin nature. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're not to be occupied with loving the world. What does it mean by loving the world? Loving the world means being devoted to the world's treasures, philosophies, and priorities. To continue to love the world the way unbelievers do will cripple our spiritual growth and render us fruitless for God's kingdom. 3 John verse 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidden them that would, and casteth them out of the church. We are not to be occupied with seeking our preeminence. Man loves to build up his reputation. Man loves to be the first in everything. And man loves to be superior, surpassing all others. Man loves to have power. Seeking our preeminence steer us away from God. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We're not to be occupied with seeking our own glory when we are serving him. Yes, we will give most of the glory to God, but we just want to keep a little bit for ourselves. God deserves all the glory. Our God is a jealous God. He wants all the glory. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We're not to be occupied with seeking our own glory, living our lives. No matter how successful we are to ascribe glory to God. No matter how accomplished we are to give credit to him. No matter how powerful we become, we are to offer praises to the Almighty. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 30. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27. in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. We are not to be occupied with seeking comfort. Many people spend their whole life acquiring toys and more toys. They crave for prestige, style, and comfort. Whatever is trendy, whatever is new, whatever is novel, whatever is luxurious, they will go out of their way to get them. All they want in life is ease, satisfaction, and happiness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We are not to be occupied with seeking earthly treasures. In meeting the desires of our heart, we work hard to accumulate wealth. In satisfying the longings of our bodies, we labor incessantly to make money. In reaching the goals of eat, drink, and be merry, we devise many ways to get rich quick, to increase our portfolio, and to secure our investment. Now we come to the part two, things that we are to be occupied with. You might be on the right path, but it will do you no good if you're headed in the wrong direction. Having the right aim, setting the true priority, pursuing the correct goal is very important in pleasing our Lord. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are to bear fruit. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We are to bear much fruit. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We are to be occupied with seeking the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in you to bear this fruit. Of course, you cooperate with God in bearing this fruit, and you absolutely need to seek and develop it. We know it is God's good pleasure for you to love and bear his fruit. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both will and to do of his good pleasure. We are to be occupied with seeking to know God. Knowing God cannot be done in one single encounter. There have been the frequent communication between the Creator and the creature. There must be the constant interaction between the Almighty and the weakling. There should be the voluntary exchange of our will with His. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Knowing God is to follow Him. Knowing God is to love Him. Knowing God is to thank Him. Knowing God is to praise Him. And knowing God is to honor Him. And knowing God is to serve Him. And knowing God is to worship Him. We are to be occupied with seeking things from above. Having the right aim in life solves many of his problems. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. We are to be occupied with thinking and doing the things that please our Lord. Setting the true priority in life helps us to minimize our wasted effort and energy. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We are to be occupied with doing the things that will bring honor to God's holy name. Pursuing the correct goals in life makes life blessed. There is a threefold benefit. First of all, we will definitely honor our Lord. Secondly, we will be content to be able to live for Him and serve Him. And thirdly, we will be able to help others with their problems and difficulties by words of encouragement, prayers of comfort, and concrete actions. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Simple words set in the law are the most helpful. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Simple prayers in the Lord is the most effective. Luke 18:13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simple acts of kindness in the law are the most rewarding. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We are to be occupied in looking unto Jesus. There are three reasons why we look to him. We look to him because of who he is. We look to him because of what he did. And we look to him because of where he reigns. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are to be occupied in learning of Christ. In the day-to-day experiences of life, we have opportunities to learn to be like Jesus, to choose to be patient, to be considerate, to help others, to pray, on the job and in our homes. Jesus has something to say about what we do. We will experience problems in life whether or not we follow Jesus. Our choice is not whether to have problems, but whether we learn from those problems. Do we react to them the way Jesus would? Or do we become bitter and seek revenge? We learn more about love when we love people who are hard to love. We learn more about forgiveness when people sin against us. Our character is shaped more like Jesus, not so much in good times, but in difficult times. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." We are to be occupied with seeking the humility of Christ. Looking unto Jesus is only the beginning. Learning of him is a lifelong lesson. Living in the humility of Christ is our ultimate test of faith and love. We can only do it by totally surrendering ourselves to Christ, as Christ surrendered his will to the Father through humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He who has all but not Christ has none. And he who has Christ but nothing else has all. In closing, as last time I was awoke at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I did a bit of reading. So I would like to share this poem with you. It is entitled, "When I Say I'm a Christian," by Carol Wimmer. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not shouting I'm saved. I'm whispering I was lost. That is why I chose his way. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumbled, needing God to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and pray for strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and cannot even pay the debt. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't think I know it all. I submit to my confusion, asking humbly to be taught. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are too visible, but God believes I am worthy. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, which is why I seek His name. When I say I'm a Christian, I do not wish to judge. I have no authority. I only know I am loved. Steve, as always, can you help us to close in prayer?
Our loving God, we do give Thee thanks for this very timely message. And we do humbly confess that we have not given Thee the Lordship that Thou rightly deserves. Help us, we pray, to be occupied with this one thought, that He must increase and we must decrease. Part us now with Thy blessings, we pray, and if the Lord be not come, may it please Thee once again to bring us together around Thy table next Lord's Day. For we ask it all in His name and for His glory. Amen.
To the holy place.